From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns commences the sixth in a series of messages expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is Christ, Our Sin-Bearer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, taken from his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Real Estate in Heaven. The text is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. Knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. This is well. Our substance here is very unsubstantial. There is no substance in it. But God has given us a promise of real estate in the glory land. And that promise comes to our hearts with such full assurance of its certainty that we know in ourselves that we have an enduring substance there. Yes, we have it even now. They say a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. But we have our bird in the bush and in the hand too. Heaven is even now our own. We have the title deed of it. We have the earnest of it. We have the first fruits of it. We have heaven in price, in promise, and in principle. This we know not only by the hearing of the ear, but in ourselves. Should not the thought of the better substance on the other side of Jordan reconcile us to present losses? Our spending money we may lose, but our treasure is safe. We have lost the shadows, but the substance remains. For our Savior lives, and the place which he has prepared for us abides. There is a better land, a better substance, a better promise, and all this comes to us by a better covenant. Wherefore, let us be in better spirits, and say unto the Lord, Every day will I bless thee, and praise thy name for ever and ever. As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, he now begins an exposition of verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The words of this beloved passage clearly refer to the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, like the Jews of old, men continue to reject him. In the course of this message, Dr. Karen shows how the text highlights two main themes, the wickedness of our sin and the work of Christ regarding our sin. Now, to commence a message entitled, Christ, Our Sin-Bearer, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now, we're reading the opening verses of Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Let's just still our hearts and bow our heads as we come to the throne of grace in prayer. Let's all pray. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word that we have read together. And, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt deal with the natural heart of unbelief that would fail to receive the truth of the word of God. We have already read, who hath believed our report? O God, our Father, we freely confess to thee that unless the arm of the Lord is revealed, the human heart will remain in bleakness and blackness and ignorance of God's word. And oh, we would pray this day for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, both to saint and to sinner alike, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the pulpit and in the pew. And oh, God, we ask thee this day that thy word will have free course and will be glorified. We pray that thou wilt uplift thy Son. We pray that this will be a day when our hearts will be mightily drawn out after God. Lord, through the simplicity of the gospel, speak a word in season to every soul. See of the lost, rekindle the fire of love within every believing breast. And God grant that this may be a day of the right hand of God. We pray right now for the power of thy Spirit and the cleansing of thy blood and the enabling of thy grace in the preaching of thy word. Grant, O Lord, that nothing will stand between the Holy Spirit and our hearts today. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today we come to the verse number 5 in Isaiah chapter 53. You may recollect that we started actually at the 14th verse, or the 13th verse, rather, of the previous chapter. And having looked at those final words of chapter 52, which introduce all that follows in the 53rd chapter, we have gone verse by verse down as far as the end of verse 4. Verse 4 ends up with men esteeming or thinking Christ stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5 says, but, notwithstanding man's estimation, despite how men conclude that Christ was rightly smitten of God, and as a felon and a criminal was put under the rod of God, despite that, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. These are very simple words. There is nothing difficult to understand, either in the vocabulary or in the phraseology of this particular text of Scripture. There are many things in the 53rd of Isaiah that are difficult to understand. There are many words here that plumb such great depths of the humiliation of Christ that the mind of man can only make an attempt to come to grips with them. It will take eternity to give us a fuller understanding of the wonderful depths that are in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. But the words here are very plain, very, very straightforward. We have, in the midst of all the depths about Calvary, we have the simplicity of the cross of Jesus Christ. And the Lord, by His Spirit here, leads us into the true meaning of the cross. I've already indicated that in verse 4, we have an emphasis laid upon what man thinks, what the religious Jews thought concerning Christ. We esteemed Him. We thought Him to be smitten of God. As the Jews looked on Christ, they by their judgment concluded Him worthy of a felon's death. They said, we have a law, and by that law He ought to die. When even a heathen judge said, I find no fault in Him. When their own temple officers came back and said, there never was a man who spoke like this man. They themselves yet said, here is one who is worthy of a criminal's death. We esteemed Him smitten of God and afflicted. But notwithstanding man's thought, the truth is far otherwise. And what we have in verse 5 of Isaiah 53 is Calvary unveiled. And in the words of the text, we have very simply set before us Christ, our sin-bearer. Now, I want us to think of this unveiling of Calvary. This unveiling takes place through the following verses. And we will be looking from week to week in the weeks to come, in the will of God, at how the Lord draws back the veil and what He has to say about the inner meaning of the cross. In verse 5, the emphasis is upon Christ, our sin-bearer. Now, there are just two basic themes. The first is the wickedness of our sin. And the second is the work of Christ regarding our sin. Now, I want very quickly to get over the first part, the wickedness of our sin. I think I have dealt with that somewhat in the previous studies. You couldn't read the opening verses of Isaiah 53 without coming to some understanding of the depths of the wickedness and the depravity of the human heart. Verse 1 shows it to be an unbelieving heart. Who hath believed our report? It also shows it to be an impotent heart. A impotent regarding spiritual good. Verse 2, 3, and 4 go on to show you how the mind of man esteems Christ, despises Christ. And as I pointed out, can look right into the very face of the Son of God and see nothing attractive there. When we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. So we have already looked somewhat at the wickedness of the human heart. But there are certain words and allusions in verse 5 which emphasize that wickedness even more. First of all, we have the word transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. The Hebrew word that is here translated transgressions has the idea in it of a revolt. It has the idea of a rebellion. One great expert in the science of what they call lexicography. It's hard enough for me to pronounce, never mind be an expert in. But he pointed out that this is a word which emphasizes peculiarly a refusal to obey the law. It is a word that deals with a knowing refusal of allegiance to a rightful authority. It is a word, therefore, that reveals the wickedness of man as a lawbreaker, as the man who would come
and lift his puny fist of rebellion in the face of God and say, I have received the law, but I refuse to obey the law. I have set before me the rightful authority of Almighty God, but I refuse the authority of Almighty God. I set up as my God and as my law and as my authority my own sinful self and will. That is all in this word transgressions. In other words, it is a word that is not merely speaking of the act of disobedience. It is speaking of the attitude behind the act. It is not only speaking of the work, it is speaking of the heart and the will behind the work. Unfortunately, nowadays, when even preachers talk about sin, all they seem to emphasize is a series of individual acts. But man's sin does not consist in mere action, though it is a very active thing, but it consists in a wickedness of heart, an inward inclination of the will, a depravity of the inmost faculties of the soul that have their expression in the act. So he's dealing first with this word transgressions, which speaks of revolt and rebellion. Then he goes on to speak of the word iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the word here is a word that speaks of guilt. It is sin with the idea of perverseness. Men, in one sense, may be said to sin in darkness because they live in darkness. But you ought to remember that men love darkness. Men esteem the darkness that is in them to be light. The Lord Jesus said, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So while we, in one manner of speaking, can speak of men as sinning in the dark, yet we must always remember that man's sin is never a sin in total ignorance. In other words, man, first of all, Romans chapter 2, has the law of God written on his heart. Second, he has the special revelation of God written in this book. And if men are blind, they're blind because they want to be blind. If men are in the dark, they're in the dark because they love to be in the dark. It is not that God in his grace has not given his law. There is a perverseness about man's sin. There is a willfulness about man's wickedness that this word iniquities is emphasizing. It is a word, therefore, that is establishing the guilt of man's sin. Then, by allusion, in this text, our wickedness is described as disease. You will see that the work of Christ heals. By his stripes we are healed. Now, I think that the very fact that that verb healed is used will show you that the wickedness of the heart of man consists of a filthy disease that responds to no human medicine, no church medicine, no cure of man's devising. It is disease of every kind. The psalmist in Psalm 103 spoke of the Lord healing all our diseases. Now, if the healing is so comprehensive, you can see that the need for healing is equally comprehensive. In other words, this idea that is alluded to in our text is an idea that Isaiah, for instance, spoke of in the first chapter. It is every kind of disease. It is the disease of the head. Man's thinking is diseased. ¶¶
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.